Robots Radio presents...
Rated M for Mature.
Welcome back, everybody, and you're listening to The Download, weekly gaming news, the show where we give you the DL on the latest in gaming every week in a small, bite-sized download. This week, things are back to normal with your favorite host in charge once again, Jameson.
No, I'm not doing it now.
Not doing what?
The show.
Okay.
I'm back. As well, I guess not the favorite.
Definitely not the favorite.
That's right. I guess definitely I'll take second best.
You gotta engage with the people. You're too aloof.
I am aloof. It makes me a mysterious item.
I mean, you're not even aloof anymore at this point. You're like Jack Ma, where we're wondering if the Chinese government kidnapped you.
Yeah, I mean, there still was that whole idea that I am not real. And that you're just doing my voice?
Yeah, let's not bring that back again. Anyway, so we're back at it again. We're still the GoFundMe thing. I totally slipped my mind last week to send out the messages, so I'm going to make myself a note to do that tomorrow. God. The weekend went by so fast, and I hate it so much. Like
my weekends are like gone in a snapshot.
It's frustrating. And the holiday weekend didn't help, because then it was like, well, you didn't have a shorter work week, but I had like a shorter work week. But it felt like extra long, even though it was short. And then this weekend just felt like nothing.
Yes, I had to work extra on Labor Day, so I was actually doing Labor Day.
Which, I mean, you were very busy that Labor Day, oddly.
Yep.
Very surprising. So, we'll dive right on in. I have had the sniffles so badly today. I have been sneezing so much.
You poor man.
Constantly. Like,
achoo.
Although I'm like, I had dinner and stuff. And I'm like, God, people are like, does he have COVID? Oh my. I'm just sneezing.
Maybe get this man out of here.
Maybe if you clean the restaurant, it's so dirty.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to speak to the manager, please.
We got a Karen alert.
It's actually, my name is Kyle.
Oh, God.
What would be the male name for a Karen?
There is one. I can't remember. What the male version of Karen is. Hold on.
Is it Kevin? Maybe. I feel like it's Kevin.
I just typed in male verse and it came up with it. Ken.
Ken.
Karen and Ken.
That but works. I also see another post saying people can't seem to agree on the male version of Karen, that Ken is not an appropriate term.
Oh my God, it's because people, Kens around the world are like, no.
I mean, at that point, we should just call Karens Barbies. Be Kens and Barbies, that would be.
Oh, I thought it was like Barb, but yeah.
Barb.
Barb is definitely someone that has yelled at innocent workers before.
Karen and Ken, okay. Side notes aside.
Right?
The biggest news we had last week was the Sony State of Play, where they kind of went over the kind of, I guess, future of PlayStation, not really the future of PlayStation, but like what's on tap for PlayStation next. And, you know, honestly, I gotta say it was a really good PlayStation event, all things considered. They had a nice mix of showing things for upcoming games as well as revealing things for like future titles. So, like, for the games that are upcoming, you actually got to see some looks, some gameplay. And then, you know, then they really talked about a whole bunch of future titles. So, we'll kind of hit on some of the bigger topics from the event, or the more exciting ones anyway. But right prior to that, Sony just acquired Fire Sprite, which is a team in Liverpool. And so they will be helping with PlayStation and PlayStation VR. So they're the 15th studio that Sony has picked up. So that's pretty exciting. I mean, they're not like a major developer, but they definitely have a lot of technical and creative skills that will be used to help develop future Sony games. So there you go. But we'll kick off with a kind of an overview of everything that was at the event. So everything we got to see God of War Ragnarok. We got to see some gameplay as well as an extended trailer for that. Spider-Man 2 was announced, featuring our probably one of the most famous Spider-Man villains, Venom.
Yeah.
Wolverine video game was announced also by Insomniac. Sony's really somehow picking up all the Marvel games.
Yes.
But I mean,
because superhero Marvel games have done so well in the past.
I mean, it was just the one Marvel one and then the Spider-Man franchise. And the Spider-Man games have been like, you almost die there.
Maybe.
The Spider-Man games have been like hit or miss. Like some, like as going all the way back, like all the Spider-Man games, some of them are really good, some of them are really
bad.
The
most recent one is very good.
Oh, yes. Obviously. No, Bennett, it's terrible.
Pratt.
The only good Spider-Man game is Spider-Man from the Nintendo 64.
Booterman.
Gran Turismo 7, Deathloop, Blue Hunt, Kid Amnesia Expedition, Chia, Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic Remake, Project Eve, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Forspoken, Rainbow Six Extraction, Alan Wake Remaster, GTA 5 Enhanced Edition, Ghostwire Tokyo, and Guardians of the Galaxy. So those were a lot of the big ones. But we'll kind of hit on some of the more exciting ones, and then we'll mention a few things about the rest of them. So Alan Wake is getting a remaster, which is incredibly exciting. Remedy is working on that. And apparently Remedy is also working on a new game in the Alan Wake universe. Or in the same franchise, I can't remember. But there's been a couple games that flopped. So originally Alan Wake was a Xbox exclusive. Now it has flopped and is now the remaster will be a PlayStation exclusive. No details yet on whether it will come to PC, but I would imagine so. Probably like a little bit after. That's going to be a phenomenal game. It's going to get like a full rework, 4K, everything.
So good.
And it will include the main game as well as the both DLC expansions, the Signal and the Rider. There will even be a portion with some commentary from the creative director of the game. And of course, it will be in all glorious 4K.
Yeah.
A blast from the past. With this one, a new Twisted Metal game was announced in development. Man, that's PlayStation 2 days, like Twisted Metal.
Yes.
Like, super fun game to play, but holy cow, I'm surprised to see them bringing it back. And I guess I found out too that they have a Twisted Metal TV show in the works from the writers of Deadpool with Will Arnett voicing Sweet Tooth. Did not know that, but that's exciting too.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's super cool. They definitely got the right writers, I think.
Definitely. I mean, you could even brought in like the writers of like Mad Max to do. I mean, actually, you couldn't. That's George Miller. But I feel like George Miller could do a pretty good Twisted Metal. It's kind of up his alley.
Yeah.
We mentioned Spider-Man 2. That one will not be coming out though until 2023. A lot of these announcements were for future things. So like the Twisted Metal was just like an announcement. There's no dates, no guesses yet. It's literally like, hey, this game's in development. So we have no idea when that's coming. Same with Alan Wake. I think Alan Wake though will be fall of next year, if I remember. I think they might have said that, but don't quote me on that for sure. But the Spider-Man 2 is still, you know, two years away. Good God. We got a full reveal trailer for it, and Venom will be in it, and Venom is being voiced by Tony Todd. Both Miles Morales, though, and Peter Parker will be in this game as well. So they're going to kind of keep rolling with what they have built so far, which I'm here for. It's the Spider-Mans have been very good games, apparently. I don't have a PlayStation, so I haven't played them.
Peasant?
Sorry. Do you remember the image you sent me earlier? I was laughing so hard because you were as like relationship is 50-50. One buys a PlayStation, the other one buys like a 12-foot giant skeleton. I was so tempted to type back. I was like, Brenna, when am I getting my 12-foot giant skeleton?
You know, that started because Teresa really wants a 12-foot size skeleton.
I'm not surprised. I'm actually surprised she doesn't have one already.
Well, they're about the price of a PlayStation, so.
Yeah, so when am I getting my 12-foot giant skeleton?
You get a paper skeleton that I made.
I have to see the skeleton first before I deem this is okay.
Okay.
It'll be acceptable.
Funky skeleton.
Okay. Okay. I'm interested to see where your creative head is at.
Hey.
Also, we knew this one was kind of coming for a while. They had been talking about bringing the latest Uncharted games along with like Days Gone and what was the other game that they were going to bring to PC that came out recently? Because they did Death Stranding, Days Gone. There was another one next after that they were talking about.
What's going to come to PC that wasn't previously on it?
Yeah, I know Bloodborne has always been teased, but it wasn't that one. It was another game. It wasn't Ghost of Tsushima.
Mm-mm.
And it wasn't Last of Us, but it was something else. It's going to annoy me. But so we're not surprised that Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, you know, will be coming fully remastered for PS5 and PC. Right now, they're saying early 2022. So being September with no date, I would guess between February and March. I would probably say February and March, maybe April. But usually if they say early 2022, they mean before the end of their year. Because the game year always ends like March 30th or whatever that is. So I'm looking forward to playing Uncharted.
Yeah, Uncharted is a good series. I haven't been playing the more recent ones, but from
you can get them all now in one package on PS5.
Hey, or PC. There you go. Or PC. I feel like it's one of those ones you want to play with a controller.
I can play with a controller on PC.
Yeah, but I've got a PlayStation 5, so I should probably justify having that.
There's other games to justify for that. This is not a PlayStation 5 exclusive.
This is true. I don't have any room. I cannot wait for them to come out with the storage extenders.
That will be very nice. That'll be very nice. I just need to hope my PC can handle it if I don't get it upgraded by then. But I'm in dire need of a full
You're upgrade. Slowly approaching potato mode on all games.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Having issues with storage lately. I'm like maxed.
You have 8 terabytes.
I have a external that's plugged in, but I'm not going to run a game off of that external drive. That would be so dumb and so terrible. In my computer though, I have 2 terabytes. Yeah, I have 1 terabyte drives, and I have my OS, which is a 256.
Yeah.
So, but it's not an NVMe, it's just a SSD. And then I have 1 hard disk and 1 other SSD.
What Frankenstein do you have going on with all those different storage?
Well, I added the 1 terabyte SSD myself. Because I was having storage issues all very early on. I was like, okay, we need an extra drive and I need it to be SSD. So I Frankensteined that one in. But it came pre-built with just a plain SSD in it. Because I got it in like 2017, like the very beginning of 2017, like February. So like NVMEs were really just becoming a thing then. Like they were
I'm pretty sure I have an NVMe,
you do.
A 2.5 inch, and 2 hard disks.
I believe that is correct.
2 terabytes.
Because you got some other hard drives after the fact, I think.
Yeah. So I've got like 1.75 probably terabytes.
I don't even remember what your original PC build was, because you basically rebuilt it when you got that new case and you got all those extra parts from your friend.
Yeah, I had a single 2 terabyte and an NVMe, and that was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knights of the Old Republic remaster is coming out. We knew this one was also coming because the story got broken by Jason Schreier back in like May. But now it's official. So no announcement about when it will be coming out. They were where everyone was making a big deal inclusive. That is now PlayStation. But I wouldn't really call that PlayStation exclusive because it's on PC. So anyway, yeah. Semantics. But I'm excited for that. I think that will be really good, and especially if they get it all right and glorious 4K. It's going to be so pretty. It's going to be such a pretty game.
Yeah, it is.
Jeff Nighy decided to, or decided to ask BioWare and EA about their involvement with Knights of the Old Republic, since they were part of the original team and BioWare currently makes the Star Wars Old Republic MMO. And this was their response. "We are proud of our long-standing collaboration with Lucas Games, which will continue for years to come. Our talented teams have created some of the most successful games in the history of the Star Wars franchise, including Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars Battlefront, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, Star Wars The Old Republic, and Star Wars Squadrons." Literally, they listed off every single game they made, why they had the license. "We love Star Wars and look forward to creating more experiences for players to enjoy." That was their comment. It's not an answer.
Yeah.
It's not an answer.
What's going on?
And when they say it will continue for years to come, I hope they remember that their license ends in like 2 years.
Yeah. That's the years.
So, I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
That's fair.
That's fair. Which Ubisoft it sounds like what's going to happen is when the license expires, they're not going to award it to any one studio, that they're going to start. It seems like they're going to be awarding it on a project basis because they've already given Ubisoft a project to work on. What is it? The studio that does Division starts with an M. It's not Motive, because Motive's the EA one.
I am drawing a blank. We are not good today.
Ubisoft. It's not Montreal. That's not... Massive. That was what it is. Okay. Ubisoft Massive Entertainment. They are responsible for, the Division franchise. They're also making that Avatar video game that's coming out in a couple years.
I cannot wait for that.
I feel like it's going to be trash. I honestly have very low expectations because they've been blowing it with like Ghost Recon. And I think the Division, like, it got, the Division got better as it went on and went through like to Division 2, but it still sucks. Like, I don't like it.
I really hope that they don't blow it. Because like my expectations are low, but my wants are very high. Like the amount of stuff I want to be able to do, I almost wish that they would do like a not Harry Potter style where you like get picked into your house, but like still kind of do a quiz or do whatever to find out like what you're gonna be, what, you know, how cool would that be? Like the first beginning of the game, you don't know what, you know, element that you got going on. And then like your decisions through the beginning of the game, like kind of decide whether you're going to be earth or fire or something like that.
Brenna, you're talking about the wrong avatar here.
So I've got this really good video game idea for Avatar.
We're talking about Pandora Avatar.
Your silence, the silence from you while I was going on about that is echoing in my head.
Yeah, I was like, I was listening to you talk and I was like, house thing. I was like, what is she talking about? Like, is this like you get to like find out what kind of like, you know, like avatar you're going to have, like what the kind of Na'vi you will be? And I was like, and then she's like fire or like earth. And I'm like, wait a second. Is she talking about something else?
We're in dirt mode. We're firing it on all cylinders today.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, no. Avatar, Pandora, that game. I have low expectations.
I do too. I feel like it's going to be a Mass Effect game. Like it's going to be just like Mass Effect, the third one. Where you like kind of fast travel there and you can still do like mining and whatnot. And I feel like it's going to even look like it too. Like the art style.
We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. Speaking of game ideas, I had a great game idea for the whole Star Wars thing. Because I really hate the Old Republic MMO. Like, I think it's a terrible game. I pre-ordered it right when it came out. The cinematics for the game are phenomenal. I'm sure, I think I've made you watch them several times.
Yes.
I don't think I made you watch them. I think you entertained whatever passion or
whatever
like,
nerdness that was seeping out of your pores while watching it.
I do remember there was one night, I don't remember what brought it on, but you had me start describing Star Wars to you, the series, and then that prompted us to start watching the movies, and then, like, within a week, you watched all of them, and you were like, which we haven't watched the latest ones yet, the trash ones. Those are...
Yeah, no.
Those are on the list. You need to watch them to be like, why? Like, you need to have that realization.
And my favorite ones are the, like, Hayden Christensen ones.
I mean, I like the old ones, but who wouldn't like the new ones, especially with all the clones? The clones are just so badass. Like,
yeah, it's just some of the writing in the old ones. The story is great, but the writing for the film, interesting.
Hayden Christensen's writing was not good, unfortunately. His writing was like a whiny 12-year-old.
Of course, but, enough.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'm very concerned about the future Star Wars movies, the High Republic that they're doing. I am not on board with that. Like they're showing pictures of them wearing like medieval representing armor, and their lightsabers look like swords where they have like hilts or like the katana the name for that piece on the katana, that circle piece.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. The handguard. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They have like handguards. And I'm like, how are we going? How are we digressing? Because the Old Republic. No, this is supposed to be between the Old Republic and episode one. I think it's like 200 or 300 years before episode one. So we like, are we like digressing before we go back? Because like Old Republic was decently advanced. Then yes. The Old Republic period ended. There was 1,000 years of peace. And then we had episode one start. So we're like 300 years in, or like 300 years before that. So I'm like, I don't like this direction that they're taking it.
Already doesn't make sense.
Yeah. My idea, though, digressing the game idea, was I feel like Destiny, the concept behind Destiny, if executed better, would be a great way to make a Star Wars video game. Like set it during the Mandalorian time period, like at the after episode six. So you pick, like, you make your character and then you pick, like, oh, do you want to be bounty hunter? Oh, do you want to be like force sensitive? Like, you don't, like, you have, like, you know, you have force powers, but, you know, because of the time period, you don't actually know. So then maybe you become a Jedi later on or something. And then you could do some other, like, heavy character, like shock trooper class. So you get like bounty hunter. I feel like that would work really well. And then you're playing around on planets. You can do co-op with friends. You get a ship to fly between, but you don't actually fly. I feel like that'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Anyway, moving on. A surprising game announcement, as we mentioned before, was the Wolverine announcement. And that is going to be in development for PS5 exclusively. It will not be available on any other systems, including PlayStation 4. So it's a standalone game. It's being done by the same people that do Spider-Man, Miles Morales. So honestly, that game is probably going to be phenomenal, but no idea when that's coming out. So that's another one that will probably be like, if Spider-Man is 2023, I would say Wolverine is probably 2025.
I was going to say the same.
We're also getting another Gran Turismo game, you know, same, it's the same thing every year.
Yep.
It's racing games. There's not too much you can do new to them. It's, you know, Gran Turismo is for PlayStation as Forza is for Xbox. So
yes, I agree.
Though Forza has been mixing it up, though. Forza has been trying to make themselves like, what is that game back from the old 360 days? Test Drive Unlimited.
Hey.
They're trying to make themselves like that, which I'm here for. We also got to see some gameplay of Deathloop, which drops really soon, I think. I want to say it's like in a week or two, as well as the specs for that. Yeah, no, it's this week on Tuesday. It will be released on PC and PlayStation 5, coming to other systems at a later date. So that's a Xbox PlayStation exclusive, because it's made by Bethesda and Xbox owns Bethesda, so it's an Xbox game that's a PlayStation exclusive.
That's weird.
Yes. So is Ghostwire Tokyo. We also got to see some more of that, and that will be coming out next year. That's another game that is a Xbox PlayStation exclusive. Got to see some bunch of other titles. The Guardians of the Galaxy is basically like a, almost like a, think of it like a standalone expansion for the Avengers game. It'll be like similar to that, where you pick, you know, you play as a member of the Guardians team doing missions and that kind of thing, like kind of like the Avengers game, but it's better. It looks like they've made a lot of improvements on it, and it's not, and it's not the same, it's not or it is Square Enix, but I have better feelings for it. God of War Ragnarok, we got to see some gameplay of that. You know, some nice boy banter, like, you know, again,
boy.
Thor looking extra thick in the trailer, just like Thor from the Ragnarok movie, like fat Thor.
Yes
So pretty great. But overall, you know, I think it was a great a great great event. A lot of good announcements. So we'll keep plugging away. Apple is now officially selling PlayStation 5 controllers. So the PlayStation 5 DualSense controllers are compatible with Apple devices. So if you're looking to play games on Apple or mobile, you know, you can now use your PlayStation controller if you already have one, or you can pick one up.
That's kind of crazy.
It's nice. Honestly, yeah. It's nice. The DualSense 5 is also much more compatible with PC than in the past. Because I know the PlayStation controllers were always like very difficult.
Yes.
To make work. But the DualSense now works much easier on PC and on Steam. So I appreciate that Steam and PC and whatnot is making better efforts to integrate the use of controllers. Because yes. It was so annoying when you had to like plug in a controller and then go do your key mapping. Like if the game wasn't like one of the few that had built-in controller support, you had to go and set it all up. That was effing annoying.
Or, I mean, I had to use like a third party
to
get it to work.
Yeah, there's a key mapper. There was another one. But yeah.
I can't remember what I used.
Yeah, especially if you're using a PlayStation controller, you had to have you had to have a key mapper. It was super frustrating. Even though like the buttons are all basically identical, they just have coded different names and it doesn't work.
No. Yeah.
Super frustrating. So Life is Strange True Colors is coming out soon. Very excited for that. But one of the probably the fun parts about the game, I guess, is it will have a Twitch extension that will allow your Twitch audience to make the in-game decisions for you. So when you get to like the voice, you know, like the, you know, like for example, says, you know, choose what, you know, handshake or hug. The, you know, the Twitch audience gets to vote and it picks it and puts it into the game. I love that stuff. I love that stuff so much. Hey, like, do you remember when Twitch did the Twitch plays like Pokemon and they had like the old school Pokemon game? And so it was people like mashing like directions and it was super cool. It was super fun. But yeah, so Life is Strange True Colors also drops this week. Pretty excited for that game. There's a lot of good games out right now and I have no monies. Zero monies for games. It's just the way it is. I move Friday, so... Hopefully.
So even no monies, no monies.
Yeah, no monies, no monies. Ugh. And then Midnight Hunt. Ugh. No monies.
That's a lot to drop. And then don't forget Crimson Vow is coming up soon.
November. So we've got like a month and a half between the two. At least.
I need less expensive hobbies.
Yes, Brenna, stop looking at airsoft stuff.
Too late.
Which we actually have one of our listeners. I think, let me see his name. I think he's a big airsoft guy.
Really?
Yeah, like part of like groups. Brower Vids. I think he plays a lot of airsoft. So another reason for you to, I don't know, engage in our Discord.
Shut up. I surprisingly have a lot of the gear for it already.
Yeah, I knew you would. I mean, yeah. It's just from camping and just from working out general things. It's not.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the only thing you really need to get is an airsoft gun.
Oh, face mask too.
You could make do with things you already have.
I mean, I have snowboarding goggles. I know people use that.
Yeah, and then you just, you know, something over your mouth. But yeah, the regular masks are obviously better.
Yeah, I just don't want my teeth blown out, so.
Just don't open your mouth.
Yeah, okay, that's how that works.
Yeah, Brenna, breathe through your nose. You should be able to run extended distances.
I'm like, only breathing
through your nose.
Run, all right. They're like, oh, she's mute. I can't.
Get like the throat microphone so you can just like whisper.
ridiculous.
Because they pick up your vocal cords. This is one thing I've always kind of been impressed with Kojima, because we got to see the Death Stranding director's cut, the final trailer for that in 4K. And for those of you that don't know, Kojima makes all of his own trailers for the game. So like all the Death Stranding trailers, he solo makes those himself. Like he gets all the footage, cuts it, edits it, you know, adds the music, all of that. And, you know, you got to give the man credit. He knows how to make trailers. Like,
yeah,
like his trailers get you hyped. And they like, they're not just like trailers. Like they like tell you a story in it too. Like they got music. They give you snippets about the game. Like, whew, they are good. I wish more developers knew how to make trailers like that.
Yes.
Because it would make trailers a whole lot more exciting than just the crappy teasers and stuff we get every year. As we've talked on the show many times, Brenna and I are players of Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons. And yeah. So we were talking about upcoming Magic stuff, but there's also some upcoming Dungeons and Dragons content. The Wild Beyond the Witchlight is the next source book for that. And it is all about the Feywild, which is the land of the Fey, fairies, etc. in D&D and the Forgotten Realms. And I think that comes this Friday, if I'm not mistaken. But two of the exciting additions to that is you will be able to play fairies, and you will be able to play Herengons, which are rabbit folk.
Oh, cool.
I know. I want to be a rabbit person. Or as someone in the title says, they want chonky fairies and sassy rabbit folk.
I feel like that would be switched.
I don't know.
Sassy fairies and chonky rabbits.
I know. You're breaking stereotypes here by flipping it.
I like it.
I like it, too. I'm also looking forward to the Strixhaven book, which will come in November for D&D, which is Strixhaven is like Magic the Gathering's Hogwarts, basically.
So cool.
So they're going to make like a Hogwarts setting for D&D, finally. And that one will add owl folk.
Yes.
I'm very excited for that, especially from like Avatar. Like, come on, you got to make an owl be your librarian.
Can we specify now? Because I'm having a little bit of PTSD.
About what? I don't recall any owls being in Avatar, Brenna. But there were other owls in the other Avatar with knowledge foxes.
Yes, I understand the show.
Okay, just making sure. You were having some PTSD and you wanted the clarification.
I hate you.
Mm-hmm. RuneScape has shut down a fan HD mod for the game. That's unfortunate. The mod developer has spent over 2,000 hours over the last 2 years developing this, and they ended it. Not going over well with people. People are not happy.
Yeah, I mean, someone puts that much time into it, especially if you've grown used to it after however long that you've, you know, subscribed to that. That sucks.
Yeah.
People pay for these mods too. Or yes, like they do donate money and stuff like that.
Think about all the people that paid for mods for Skyrim, that all those mods are just now included in the Skyrim 10th anniversary garbage edition.
I mean, but the thing is, it's been however many years and you were supporting someone.
True. But also, like, why should we have to play for mods in the first place? Like, you remember when they were trying to make that a thing and they tried to do that on Steam and everyone was like, F you. Like, no. This is PC. We're not paying for any sort of mod. Get out of here.
Try it somewhere.
Speaking of Steam, in some more interviews with Valve about the upcoming Steam Deck, Valve is very determined to ensure that the Steam Deck can run your entire library at launch. And if it cannot run every game, Valve views that as a bug that needs to be fixed. So yes, that's the right way of thinking. I think that is the appropriate approach for Valve to take. You know, they've obviously proven that the game will be, that the Steam Deck will be capable of handling some of the higher running games. So I feel pretty confident in the system being able to handle everything. I just don't know how well it will handle stuff going forward, like if there's newer, bigger titles coming out. That's kind of the key concern. So if you bought a Steam Deck, you know, make sure you hopefully reserved a higher end model.
Yep. It was, I mean, it's stupid to get anything in that first tier, but I think there's three, right?
There was three. The first tier was the weakest one, and then the next two tiers were just increased storage space, but they were using the same high end RAM and whatnot.
Definitely don't go with that first tier.
Yeah. Additionally, in 2 weeks, very exciting, there will be another Halo Infinite multiplayer preview, except this time it will be open for just about everybody. You just have to sign up before September 14th, which is this Tuesday. So go sign up on Halo Insider and you will get access. You'll be able to play in 4v4 multiplayer and the big team battle game modes alongside the previous bot mode. So I'm definitely going to sign up for that because I'm very much looking forward to the Halo multiplayer, especially since it's going to be free to play. I think this will be a great shooter for us to add to our libraries.
Yeah.
That's not COD.
Yes. Big agree.
F COD. I'll save the Apple versus Epic one here for last and run through these other couple quick ones fast. The Battlefield 2042 soundtrack is out now. And
man's happy.
Boy, go give that a listen. The soundtrack is made by Kildar Gundadottir and Sam Slater. And Hildur won the Oscar for the music she wrote for the Oscar-winning award movie Joker in 2019.
Oh.
Yes. And then her husband is Sam Slater, who is also a composer on the game. It's available on Spotify to listen to right now. The official soundtrack for purchase and whatnot, and available everywhere, will release in October alongside the game. But, oh, man, it is good. I like the names of some of the songs are so good, like Wall Jazz.
Love it.
I want to listen to Wall Chaz. What's another one? Wet Bulb.
I don't know that I want to listen to that one.
Observation of Beautiful Forms. I feel like that.
That's a really random word generator.
I feel like this could be a really fun, like, contest. Is this a video game soundtrack or is it something else? Like,
We should do a random word generator and be like, is this a random word generator or a soundtrack?
That would be amazing. Okay, I see where you're at now. Yes, 100%. Yes. Was it randomly generated or is this an actual song? Phenomenal. Write that one down, please.
I will put it in chat.
Good. Ahead of Far Cry 6's launch, Ubisoft has already announced some of the upcoming post-launch DLC plans for Far Cry 6, and good golly, they are extensive. They will include crossover missions featuring Rambo, Stranger Things. I'm very confused by the Stranger Things one.
Yeah.
As well as Danny Trejo will be in the game.
Because,
Yeah, what are you... Okay.
I'm pinning it.
Okay.
You told me to do. Just side-eye me.
That was not a side-eye. That was like a... Like, this is a side eye.
That no one can you hear the awkwardness?
Yes. What was I do? I did something to you the other day that made you uncomfortable. Like, I did like a look or something. I can't remember what it was for.
I can't remember either.
Anywho. So like these, they'll have like special operations as well as some extensive DLCs, these insurgencies as well. They're basically throwing a lot of things at us, and we have little idea of how they will kind of fit into the game without more explanation or seeing how the game will play out. But listing them out, they'll have 3 DLC episodes. They'll be playable in solo or co-op, and they will not require season. You can play with a friend even if the friend doesn't have the season pass. So only one person has to own it to team up and nice. Play. Episode 1, which is called Voss Insanity, that will release in November. Episode 2, Pagan Control, will release in January 2022. And episode 3, Joseph Collapse, will release in March 2022. So it's kind of like all like one right after the other. The season pass holders will also receive Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. They will receive the Blood Dragon set, which will include usable items from that in the Far Cry game, which includes a outfit, 2 weapons, another 2 vehicles, a weapon charm, and a fang for hire. Okay. Oh, it's a dog. You can hire a robot dog, K9000. Yes. Got it. So, and that's just what they have so far. They're saying that there's more that will come after that, and Far Cry 6 launches on October 7th.
Coming up.
So, yeah, that's a jam-packed release calendar.
Yeah.
So... And then lastly, this week we got a trailer for Matrix Resurrections. I'm interested. I liked the trailer, but I'll probably see the movie. Like, the trailer like didn't really like grab me, but it was like, okay, I'm interested to see what they're doing here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a modern day. It looks good.
Not seeing Lawrence Fishburne, though, was weird.
Yeah.
I don't know the actor's name that they have like in Morpheus's place, because he looks younger, but I've seen him before in other things and he fit well. Like he looked almost exactly like a younger Lawrence Fishburne, but yeah, it was weird. And it was odd too, seeing like old Keanu Reeves as well. Like
it's I like it a lot because it's almost like a reunion without doing a reunion.
Yes.
Like, instead of doing a stupid sit-down reunion, they just made another movie.
I feel like it's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure 3, but for The Matrix.
Yes. Yes. It's good. Yeah. I mean...
Also not seeing, what's his name, as Agent Smith. God, I love... He's such a great actor. He also did Elrond. It's really going to bother me that I don't know. Is Hugo Weaving. There we go. That man can just play such amazing villains. His just voice is just like... It's good. Like when he sits down the first time with Keanu Reeves' character and he's like flips open the thing. He's like, Mr.
Anderson.
Yes. It was good. Good stuff. All right. So lastly, we had the Apple versus Epic lawsuit judgment came out, and we got to, I read through actually a decent amount of the judgment. Yeah. The judgment itself is 189 pages if you really want to dive on into that. But I skimmed it, got some of the main details of it. And honestly, I would not say either side won. I would say both sides lost in some fashion, but the losses for Apple were very minimal. The losses for Epic were far worse, and the wins for both sides were both good wins. But Epic's win and their loss canceled each other out. So Epic was walking away with a whole lot of nothing from this.
Oh, I feel like, you know, even though there were some changes that Apple is now forced to make, I don't think it's going to affect them in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
And now Epic owes a ton of money.
So we'll explain it to everybody. So the main part of the lawsuits, and there was the judgment, and Apple stock took a dip on Friday with this announcement, but honestly,
Apple right now because it's at a lower price.
Yeah, buy it right now because in a day and a half, they're going to have their new Apple event, announce all their stuff, and their stock is going to shoot through the roof again like it does every single year when they have these events. So in the long run, like, people were like, oh my God, Apple's going to be losing millions and millions of dollars of revenue a year. And it's like, no, they really aren't. No, they're just going to use this to come up with a new strategy, and it's going to be far more successful, and it will be far better for the community. But anyway, so getting to the judgment. So the loss on Apple's part was they are permanently restrained from prohibiting developers from including in their apps and their metadata buttons external links or other calls to action that direct customers to purchasing mechanisms, in addition to in-app purchasing and communicating with customers through points of contact obtained voluntarily from customers through account registration within the app. So honestly, the judge is phenomenal in this case. Yeah,
the judge is amazing.
She was 10 out of 10. She was the real winner in all of this, I think. Yeah. So basically what that boils down to is Apple now has to allow for people to be able to include other purchase options in their apps. However, they still have to include the in-app normal Apple in-app purchasing. That doesn't go away. And so basically they just give people the choice to do that. And by doing this, it's not compromising Apple security. It's leaving it solely up to the consumer. Apple's ecosystem is still 100% intact, and all of these buttons too, they still have to get approved by Apple before they get added to the App Store, because the app has to be approved in general. So it will still keep Apple, you know, secure. It's not going to be the security threat that it was supposed to be. And if you remember, Epic was saying that they're anti-competitive, they're monopolistic, like they're just stealing tons of money. And so in the judgment as well, the court stated, the court cannot conclude that Apple is monopolistic under either federal or state antitrust laws. So basically, that whole argument has been eviscerated you have a federal judge saying that they are not monopolistic under federal law and state of California law, which, if you remember, state of California is the fifth largest economy in the world. That's pretty high standards. That's a huge boost to Apple, with other lawsuits being thrown at them about this. Yeah. That's going to be like,
oh, I mean, all the other cases are going to be kind of screwed. They don't really
because Apple's just gonna be like, we have this other decision, we move to dismiss, and the judges will be like, yep, dismiss. Unless there's the one rogue judge that is like, no, which can't
hear it. Yeah,
which can happen, but unlikely. In addition to all of that, so some of the remedies during the period when Epic made that change and they cut out Apple's 30% cut, they made during 2 months that they did that, they made a little over $12 million in revenue. They have been ordered to pay damages equal to 30% of that, which is the cut that Apple is entitled to. And so,
how many million?
12.
Okay.
And then on top of that, they're required to pay 30% of any revenue Epic Games collected from November 1st, 2020 through the day of judgment. So they got to pay a whole, basically 30% of whatever they made.
Close to 4 million.
Well, so that's just the Fortnite. Then from that period onwards, anything that Epic made money off of on iOS, they are required to pay 30% to Apple.
Yeah,
and so that's over a period of a year.
Oh.
So Apple's walking away with some nice chunk of change in their pockets.
Probably 6 million.
More than that. more than that. So? Two months they made $12 million on Fortnite. I think Apple will be receiving a nice chunk of change because it's all the other Epic stuff too. But I don't think it will be as hefty as Fortnite.
Yeah. Because then they report like their financials, it's like 80% Fortnite.
Yes. Yeah. Or no, it was gaming. Mobile game transactions on the App Store are responsible for 70% of Apple's App Store revenue. So like Epic was trying to make this argument like this will help all developers. And it's like, no, this is really just a gaming thing. Like the judge basically saw through all of Epic's arguments and they lost pretty much all of those. But
yeah,
in the sense they're trying to just make it more open to everybody. So additionally, the judge also sided with Apple that the termination of their DPLA and related agreements between Apple and Epic was valid. So basically, the judge is saying that Apple was in the right for revoking and terminating, you know, their agreements, and they have the right to do that. So basically, the judge said that Apple revoking Epic Games' ability to publish games now or make or update for iOS, 100% legal. So Epic is now basically 100% locked out of iOS at this point.
They're banned from iOS.
And again, why was this the battle to pick?
I couldn't tell you.
Because we've looked at their numbers. iOS accounts for 7% of Fortnite revenue. There are other platforms like Sony, which accounts for what was it, like 48%?
It's huge.
It was the largest chunk. And they also take a 30% cut, but they weren't going after Sony. So I don't know. I do not know. Anyway, on top of all of that. So, and then in the conclusion, basically, the judge kind of talked about how it was, talked about the industry a little bit and how ultimately, like, Epic Games overreached in the lawsuit. And so, you know, that's why they got hit so hard. But at the same time, they said, you know, the court does not find Apple as an antitrust monopolist, but it does feel like Apple needs to improve their conduct when it comes to enforcing anti-steering restrictions. It's basically they're saying Apple's a little anti-competitive. And so by just under this specific thing, under the microtransactions, they're saying Apple is anti-competitive. So by doing this, they're saying this will increase competition, transparency, consumer choice and information while preserving Apple's iOS ecosystem, which they also stated that Apple's ecosystem is not monopolistic either, that it's, you know, most of their consumers prefer. Huge win for Apple, minor. So,
yeah.
But that'll do it, everybody, for this week. I'm not sure whether the episodes will drop Monday or Sunday those days, but I mean, you know by us now, we always get it out. We're pretty flexible. We'll let you know. So, yeah. So with that, I made a reminder to myself to message you guys this week about setting up that Patreon episode. So be on the lookout for that. And if you haven't seen our announcement already, go follow our new socials at Goose and Lion, Instagram, Twitter. We have a new website at Goose and Lion. They're all coming soon. We're working towards that full announcement later this year, holiday season. So start following us there because we'll be posting stuff periodically on there as we kind of build up towards the big announcement. And we'll see you again real soon. Good luck. Have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. And since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. But this isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega.
The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.
Hey, Guardians. We are the Destiny Show Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things Destiny 2. We invite amazing guests from the Destiny community to share their stories and discuss the latest topics from the world of Destiny. Check us out on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or live on Twitch every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will see you, Starside.